This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with your hosts, Captain Mickey Eastman and Captain Benny Hatton, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years. Captain Benny is a licensed Coast Guard captain. Now, here they are together, your hosts, Captain Mickey and Captain Benny.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman.
And I'm Captain Benny Hatton.
Our producer is
John Boudreau.
All right. Let's get back to our phones. We've got some busy stuff going on here. All right, Charlie, we're back. Thanks for holding.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to go out and go through the motions and hope these kids whack them up?
Yeah. I'm probably gonna clean up some stuff in my boat today too that I need to do.
Yeah, you can organize tackle while they're fishing.
That's right.
And you can probably actually get that bucket of soft plastics all organized and everything.
Yeah. Yep. That's right. That's the plan.
There you go. Well,
that is the plan. Well, let me ask you this about the weather. Is this rain out of here yet?
Well, that line was showing it early. Let me look at radar again. It looked like it was about to clear on out. Is it still raining down your way?
No, that stuff came through here about 2 or 3 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's when it came through here.
Yeah, it's that line is, it's east of Lake Jackson. It's mostly through us, our area, and over Galveston right now, but it's moving east pretty good. So, yeah, nothing behind it, so. It ought to clean up real nice behind this morning.
Well, I don't think that wind is going to settle in strong until, later on this afternoon. So,
yeah, you're going to have west winds to start the day out with, and then later on this evening it'll pick up really strong out of the north-northwest.
Yeah, we'll be good to go, I'm pretty sure.
I think
I can find them a few fish.
Yeah, there's no rain at all down your way. Everything is out in the Gulf in front of you about 20 miles, and it's heading out of here. It's gone.
I'll have them playing around with some different color mirror lures and teach them a few things, and we'll get through the day.
I know you will. Well, yep. I want to wish you the best of luck. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing Matagorda, now's the time to come. How do they get a hold of you?
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
I hope one of them kids catches about an 8-pound trout today. That'd be awesome.
That'd be nice.
It would. All right, brother. Well, Charlie, good luck, and I wish you all the best.
Okay, y'all have a good weekend,
all right,
fellas.
Bud.
See you, Charlie.
See you, man.
Bye-bye.
All right, now let's go to Cameron Plogg. I don't know what country he's in, or he may be back home. I don't know. Let's check in with him. Cameron, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, Captain Mickey, Captain Benny. How's it going?
We're here, brother. Cameron. We're here. Where are you at right now?
Man, I am sitting in the beautiful Capos, Costa Rica, getting ready to do the first day, this kickoff of the third annual Pelagic Rockstar Fishing Tournament,
there you
man.
Go. Well, I'm sure of it. I hate him. You dog.
Oh, man.
Living a dream, baby. Living a dream.
We got 52 of the biggest teams down here. Some of them came from Los Sueños. The dock is loaded up, man. Everybody's been fishing, trying to figure out where not to go, man. Eliminating water, about tournament.
Oh,
fishing.
Yeah. Eliminate all of it you can.
So we got there's a 50-mile radius. So everybody, there's like a 50-mile boundary. So, we've been fishing. We've probably fished 14 or 15 days since Christmas. So we've eliminated a lot of water.
I bet you have. Y'all caught anything good?
Yeah, man, we've been steady picking at sailfish, man. Yesterday was a really good day. We pre-fished with the whole crew. We were 6 for 8 on sailfish and finally raised us a blue marlin. And we hooked him up, hooked the blue marlin on the left long, swimming ballyhoo. And my old angler, man, he's a big old boy. And man, he got the fish on, and the marlin started jumping through the spread, and he kind of, I don't know exactly what happened, but I looked over there and he's high sticking it like he's kingfishing, and the fish is jumping, and he got tight to the fish, the line got tight, and he was all reared back on him, and fish is jumping away, and pow, the main line broke. And he reeled in just a bunch of slack, and the fish kept jumping. And the boss man goes, "Well, if you want another look at him, there he goes."
Yeah,
he was still jumping away.
Yeah, that's, you know, marlin pumping isn't really marlin pumping. You got to bow to those fish. You know, you got to put that rod down when they jump, just like tarpon fishing.
That's exactly right, Mickey. Rico Suave, man. You know, be real smooth. And
that's it, buddy. Rico Suave.
But it's really cool, man. This tournament's sponsored by Pelagic, you know, that fishing brand.
Oh, yeah, Pelagic's good stuff, man.
All the good-looking Pelagic girls are here serving cocktails and everything. So it's going to be a fun tournament, man.
Oh, I hate hearing how you boys rough it so bad down there. That's hard to swallow.
You know, man, everybody, some people, you know, my old ex-girlfriend, she just thought I was on vacation all the time. But, man, we bust our butt down here.
That's work, man. It is.
I mean, every day we're rigging 50, 60 baits, teasers. We changed all the line. I mean, it's a lot of entertaining and this and that. But the owner of this boat we're on, it's a 63-foot American custom yacht, and the boss man is a young dude from Texas, 34 years old, and just, you know, he gave us the perfect platform to succeed, and we have all the right tools necessary to go out there and do a good job. So it's just like hanging out with one of your buddies, man.
Yeah.
It's really a cool atmosphere here.
Well, that makes it nice, you know, have a good crew like that where everybody's on the same page and same, you know, pretty much same level. Everybody thinks the same, and that's what it takes to have a good team, man.
We're all in it to win it, and teamwork makes the dream work. You can't do – this is not a single-man sport here. This is a team, man, all the way from, you know, the guy making lunch to the guy driving the boat, man. Everybody's got to have the same goal in mind.
Everybody's
got to
do their part. You bet.
Oh, you bet. You bet. So we're real excited, and hopefully we left the fish yesterday, so hopefully we can drive right out there to them and get back on them this morning. It's a 7 o'clock shotgun start. So everybody lines up, gets out there, and they blast off at 7. So if you got a fast boat, that's good for you, because at 7 is blast off and it's lines in at 7. So the faster your boat is, the quicker you can get to the spot and the faster you can start fishing and racking up numbers.
Now, how do y'all do this? It's catch and release, and y'all have a point system. Sales are worth so much. You know, is that how it works?
Correct. Yeah, blue marlin, any kind of marlin is worth 300 points.
Right.
And a sailfish is worth 100 points. And this tournament's a little, there's a kicker. You actually have to video and the release of every fish.
Right.
So I mean, that videoing is just as important as hooking and catching all the fish, because
now once you leader that fish, isn't that considered a catch? Once you get your
correct.
Hand wrapped on a leader?
Once you grab that wind on and start pulling that fish up, I mean, it counts as a catch.
Good.
But if you don't, you have to make sure in this tournament that you video it and get clear video. See, a lot of the times we just get them and break them off as soon as we grab the leader. But in this tournament, we got to pull them up, get them up by the side of the boat and go, okay, that's a sailfish, or okay, that's a blue marlin.
Right.
And then pop them off. So little extra, little something extra, but you know, that's what's going to put that's what's going to separate the winners from the losers right there, probably.
Awesome. That's interesting.
Pretty cool little deal, man.
Yeah. I like it. Catch and release stuff like that. That's cool.
man, the only people that really kill any fish over here are the commercial fishermen, man. They still put out buoy gear and they catch anything that swims, Dorado, sailfish, marlin, and they sell it to China or whoever. But I think a lot of it, some of that commercial stuff they catch, them sailfish, I think it turns into catfish.
And I was reading something the other day. I don't know whether it was Venezuela or one of those countries down there eliminated commercial fishing in their waters. Or the, you know, no more longliners or anything like that. No more commercial activity like that. Can't remember which country it was. It was someplace y'all fished down there.
Well, that's a great thing to have, man, because commercial fishing is, well, it's just, you know, they kill tons and tons of fish every year. But
yeah, and is, I mean, that gotta basically make a living. Like, you know, it's basically longlining, right? Putting out all those buoys and the lines.
Yeah, exactly. They have buoys about, you know, maybe a tenth of a mile apart from each other,
mm-hmm.
and in between those buoys is
all
a,
hooks.
Is, yeah, there's maybe, you know, 10 or 15 hooks in between each buoy, and these things can run for miles.
Yeah.
And just drift, you know, with the current. And but the thing about it is, those guys are smart, man. Those commercial fishermen, they know where the fish are at. So
yeah.
Sometimes we end up finding ourselves fishing around those long lines and stuff, because that's where a concentration of fish is.
Well, that's basically the way we did it back in the day when we had gill netting in the bays, man. You know, you want those big fish, you can always stick to the areas where the gill netting activity was hot. That's where the mother load was. So
you could tell where the big fish were based on that, huh?
I'm telling you. Well,
you
gotta figure
it out somehow.
I'm coming up on a break. I'm wishing you guys the best of luck. Now, is this a two-day deal, today and tomorrow, or just today?
Correct, today and tomorrow. Yes, okay. Sir. Yes, sir.
And how many boats again? 52?
We got 52 boats and $450,000 on the line.
There you go. That's go, go win some money. We'll throw a party, man.
Man, you got it. We'll bring you back to Texas and have us a hoorah.
Heck yeah, man. Well, hey, Cameron, I appreciate you giving us a firsthand update over there. And if you're up and at them tomorrow, give us a call. Let us know how you guys are doing and what's going on over there.
You sure got it, Mickey. I can't sleep. You know, I'm so excited about going fishing
you are.
Anyway.
You're spark,
I'm up and at it.
You're a little spark plug. Hey, throw them your number out. Somebody wants to call you, Cameron.
Oh, man. 409-771-7332.
That's
it. GoingToTheBottom.com.
Yeah, that's it, man. Nothing like it. All right, brother. Cameron, good all talking right. to you. Thanks. See you,
you guys have a good day. Take
okay.
care.
Thank you, Cameron.
Bye. Oh, man. He'll fire you up. He makes me laugh, man. He's a good kid.
This is The Outdoor Show, presented by Hook's Bit Performance Rods on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 to the Bayou City. As we move right along, let's go down south, man. Talk to Lynn Smith. He's actually, his home port is Port O'Connor, Texas, but I know he likes to spend a lot of time in the brush country this time of year. Maybe he's got a good deer hunting story for us. Let's check in with him. Captain Lynn Smith, what is up?
Oh, man, I tell you what, it's a little foggy this morning.
You got some fog down your way?
Yeah, it's a little foggy.
Yeah, so where Austin had a dense fog advisory out this morning on my phone. It came up in a couple areas up that way. I guess behind this front and the rain and the temperature, it's a good mix for fog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how many deer we're going to see this morning.
Boy, that's kind of like deer hunting and duck hunting in the fog are my two least favorite things to do. Now, goose hunting, that's another story, but...
I used to love to goose hunt in the fog, boy, I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good thing there, boy. I loved it. Yeah. But, yeah, you don't see many deer in the fog. Man, this is going to be tough this morning, I'll tell you. Yeah, buddy. But we're seeing some pretty good deer. I saw a real pretty 10-point yesterday, probably He's in the 150 class, but
yeah, that's a pretty deer.
He's gonna be a good one.
Yes,
he's gonna be a good one, you know. I've seen him several times at this one stand, and you know, we're letting him walk, but he's a pretty deer. He's gonna be a good one in a few years, I guarantee you. He's got some big old long main beams. He's gonna be a good deer.
Good tan link, but, all that, huh?
Oh gosh, yes, yeah. He's a hefty deer. He's probably 4.5, maybe 5.5 years old, and good sized body on him. He's pretty deer. I love to see those big old heavy horns, long tines, big G2s and G3s on them. Yeah, they're nice. And there's some young tens, and you know, we try to take out the eight pointers, get rid of them. You know, a biologist just told me one time, he said, what do y'all want to see? You want to see 10s and 12s? Or do you want to see a lot of, you know, 8s and 9s? And a ranch owner said, well, I want to see a lot of 10s and 12s. He said, then you need to shoot the 8-pointers.
Yeah.
They shoot all the 8s. And I said, well, how big an 8 do we shoot? He said, if he doesn't take your breath away, you shoot him.
Really?
And I said, really? Yeah. He said, if he doesn't take your breath away, you shoot him.
Do those 8s ever turn into 10s later on when they get six or 7 years old?
You know, that's what he said. He said, you pop them.
Pop
them. Well, I've heard pros and cons. I've heard pros and cons on it, you know. And it's like this guy that manages the ranch that I got on. He said, you know, they trapped a lot of deer and tagged them and all that. And he said he had a hunter one time that had trapped a lot of deer on the Callahan, and it tagged them. And he said one of the hunters called him and he said, hey, I just saw a deer had a tag in his ear, number such and such. And so he looked it up on his book and he said, yeah, he's an 8-point. He said, no, he wasn't. He said he was a 10-point, had double drop times. He said,
wow.
Well, shoot him. He said, oh, he's already walked off. But that deer turned into a 10 with double drops. So you never know, you know. But a lot of people claim if he's an 8, he's going to be an 8, you know. Well, I don't know. It's like some people say, well, if he's a spike, he's always going to be a spike, you know.
Well, not really if it's the first year and he's a spike. I disagree with that. Now, 2 or 3 years down the line, he's still a spike, then smoking.
That's different, yeah.
Powdering.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. That's different. But I've seen people bring in, you know, first-year spikes. And I go, man, what are you doing? You're killing your future bucks, you know?
But, yeah, because that thing could crab claw out and grow brow tines and everything else the second year and be a 6-pointer.
That's right.
And then his third year, then he may develop out to a 10. You don't know what he's going to be.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, we see some little old bucks that are a year and a half old. They may be a 4-point, you know. And they may turn into a big old 10, you know, something like that.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was bow hunting yesterday, and he shot a big old cull buck, a big old nasty, gnarly cull. It was about 7 years old, and then he sent me another picture of a 9-point right there by his ground blind that was like a 3-year-old. I mean, beautiful body on him. Just, you know, you could tell he had that gene in him, and that he's gonna be a smoker when he gets 5 or 6 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shot a cull yesterday. He's about a 4.5-year-old 6-point, no brow tines. You know, and if they don't have brow tines at that age, they need to go.
Yeah.
You know? And so I popped him. He was standing around with 3 10-pointers. I said, buddy, you're history. Because, you know, we're coming up on secondary rut. We'll have a secondary rut. And he needed to get out of that gene pool.
Yeah, we don't want him contaminating the herd.
That's right. And his neck was all swollen up. You know, he'll be in there with him.
Oh, yeah, he was on the prowl. He may have a bad rack, but he still likes to mate.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. And, I mean, how many times have you seen it where the two big old bucks, you know, are fighting out there, and a smaller buck will run over and breed the doe?
Yeah, while they're fighting over, he's over there, you know, that's like some at nightclubbing we did back in the days.
Exactly. Run around a gilly.
They're out in the parking lot beating the hell out of each other, and the guy walks out with a girl they were fighting over.
That's right. Been there and done it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Big Oaks Club.
Yeah, Big Oaks, gillies. Hey, it was Nezidale. It was all.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, been there and done it. Oh, boy. Yeah, you're talking about the old days, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but yeah, it's still pretty foggy, man. I'm driving over to the ranch house right now.
You hunt over in the George West area?
Yeah, between George West and Freer.
Yeah, I got you. I drive through there when I'm heading down to Hebronville. Hey, once you hit George West and on down, you just can't get any prettier country than that.
Oh, I know it. You don't know what you're gonna see. You know you're talking about that, shouldn't send me that picture of that bear walking by the by the feeder, you know. We had a California hunter that we had at the ranch last year, and oil man, and he killed his buck one day, and so he said, well, I want to shoot a pig, and we put him in a stand, and he's sitting in the stand, and a mountain lion walked right in front of him, and he didn't shoot it, and I picked him up, and he said, hey, a mountain lion walked right in front of us. I said, man, why are you shooting? He said, well, in California, you can't shoot.
Yeah, you can't in California, but you can in Texas.
Yeah. I said, man, you're in Texas. That's a predator. We want you to shoot. Yeah.
They say a cat like that will eat a deer a week.
That's right. That's exactly right. And if it's a female and she's got cubs, she may eat more than that.
Yeah.
She'll train them.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, we usually find at least one deer a year, one buck a year in a pond, you know, where they've been wounded by a mountain lion and they go to water. But,
you know, I always thought that was weird. You know, deer, that's amazing. They get wounded or hurt and they always go to water.
That's correct. It eases the pain, see. And the biologist told me that a mountain lion will go after a buck before he will a doe, because a buck will stand to fight and a doe will run.
Yeah.
And we killed a doe one time. We were shooting does. We were thinning the does out. And we killed a doe that had been attacked by a mountain lion. And she had scratches from her neck, from her head, all the way down to her rump. And then she had a chunk of meat taken out of one of her hindquarters.
Wow.
Where he had hold of her all the way down and took a bite out of her as a last resort. But she got away from him.
She kicked him off.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Just think how many fawns are eaten by coyotes and mountain lions in one year. Even a big bobcat will take them fawns.
Oh, I saw a bobcat chasing a doe the other day.
Wow. Yeah. He was hungry.
I did. Yeah.
Hey, you need to feed your kitties better down there, man.
I know it. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right, Lynn. Well, I'm already out of time, brother, and I know you're on the road fixing to do your thing. If somebody wants to call you, how do they get a hold of you, Mr. Smith?
Yes, sir, man. We'll be fishing pretty soon. They can get me at 361-935-6833.
All right, brother. Well, Lynn, have a good shoot today. I hope that fog raises early for you so y'all can see something.
Yeah, I hope it does, man. Hope it does. All right, Mick, you have a good one, bud.
You too, man. Take care.
We'll see you at the fishing show.
You got it, my friend. Later. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 537 in the Bayou City. All right, let's go deep down south. Let's go talk to our good friend, Captain Cliff Webb, in the Baffin area. Cliff, what's up?
What's up, Mickey?
What's happening?
I'm glad to get over that crud I had the last 2 weeks. Man, I had that stuff where, you know, I hung on about 2 weeks and finally getting where I got my voice and feeling it out there. That was some bad stuff.
I know people that stuff's hung on to them for over a month.
No, don't take that. It's 2 weeks. I was glad to get rid of it, buddy. But I tell you what, you don't appreciate your health till you don't have it. That's the truth, too. All good down here, Mickey. They're catching some good fish. I'm up here in by Alice, by Sulphurus and Alice, we're bird hunting again. I just can't get enough of this bird hunting. man, my son got another place by Agua Dulce over here. He's got 1,000 acres full of birds, and I hunted that last week, and I'm up here in another spot shooting some quail today. But
is that how you pronounce that, fish. Agua Dulce?
Yeah,
I always drive through there, and I go, wonder how they pronounce that around here. I feel like pulling over and asking a local, how do you pronounce this town?
Yeah. I can barely speak English, much less Spanish. Chicana one time told me that, I said, you know, Chicana, I really appreciate you trying to teach me Spanish. She goes, hey, man, you really don't speak good English. He says, I don't know if I can teach you Spanish.
Yeah, if you can't speak English, you're not going to have any luck with Spanish, man.
That's kind of the way it was. All good. It's funny because the people that are, I caught a couple of buddies just doing some drift fishing. They don't wade. And, you know, last year it was just dead at this time, just for, you know, 3 to 6 foot of water. There wasn't a lot going on. And now they're catching some nice, you know, 23 to 26 inch trout on the little mini deans, those little small ones.
Yeah.
The smallest ones they make.
It's a mini dean. I don't think I even got any mini
deans. It's the smallest one they make. I tell you who got it. Charlie got me into those things over there in Matagorda. I never did use them. But, man, you can downsize in this clear water.
Yeah.
And boy, it makes a difference.
Oh, you know what? I do have some of those because I remember Mudman of George was fishing with me one day, and he was catching some pretty good fish on them. And I got to digging around, and I found some.
Boy, when they're on them, they're on them. And the trick is, you know, is a light dip rod and a real soft drag, because you just got to let them shake them. And they kind of get hung up like a grass bird in the corner of their mouth. And stay in there. If you can just get it in the corner of their mouth, those big fish will hold. But it's been fun. And this coming up week, I've got some good wake fishermen coming up Monday and Tuesday, so I think we'll get some big fish. But overall, Mickey, our fish is a whole lot better than it was last year at this time.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're finally getting our fish filtered back in.
Well, that's great.
Excited about that. I think after this weekend, the boat show and all that, I'll start filling up down here again.
Man.
Hadn't been a lot of boats since the deer season and all the stuff going on. It's been kind of slack, which is kind of nice.
Well,
okay.
I wouldn't complain about that, huh?
No, not at all. And I hadn't heard from my buddy Jay from Mansfield. I hadn't heard from him this week.
I hadn't either. I've been trying to get a hold of him, too, and because he's always interesting to talk to on the radio. You know, he's always... Mm-hmm. Always for good conversation, and that would be, I'd like to see how he's doing down there, see if there's fishing's picked up, you know, like yours has in Matagorda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that seems to be, you know, what I'm hearing up and down the coast, all my ear to the ground, guys I stay in touch with, you know, you and Matagorda, the Matagorda boys, they've been doing quite well, beautiful fish being caught right now, especially late.
It's funny, right. And, you know, we've had a more big fish this year than we had last year. We've had 430s this year out of our boat, and I've had some other people catching 31s. And I'm thinking that in the January, February, it's going to be smoking down here. Mm-hmm. I think our shirt will be a great spring down here. It's funny how the hurricane just shuffled the deck, and we had a little off year there. And I talked to one of my buddies up in Palacios, and he said they had the best surf year they've ever had up north. In the surf last year, they set clear water up around Palacios and all that area, which they normally don't have that.
Right.
And so this, and our surf fishing was a little bit off this year. So it's funny how the fish school just kind of cycles. It kind of swims around, and some years you got all the big fish, and something the next year your buddy's got them down south or up north. That's kind of the way it works down here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm missing my turn again.
I'm just waiting for my day to come. I'm waiting for these rivers to quit running and things to come back. Boy, I'm praying for a drought.
Yeah, you got a lot of water up there, Mickey. That's just amazing.
A lot
amazing.
Of water. I mean, you know.
I'm afraid we got more coming after that.
Well, we do. It's just crazy. It's relentless.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever get any flounder run?
No. Flounder run on the whole Texas coast was off this year. Even Louisiana,
never
they had
like
the
that.
Worst flounder fishing they've ever had in Louisiana this year.
Yeah, and I've asked everybody in the world what's going on. Nobody can tell me an answer.
I had a caller one day tell me it was global warming that was causing it. The winter,
I don't know what's going on, man.
The winter's been too warm. Well, last year, if I recall, it got real cold last winter. The water temperatures
got real cold last winter.
Now, this winter,
we've got every kind of condition.
It's different. It's warmer this winter. But mm-hmm. we're having a wet winter. That's been going on mm-hmm. since the beginning of the planet. I mean, seriously.
Yeah. But, you know, we have all these flounder regulations and not being able to dig anything but a pile of flounder this year. And I was just real disappointed in my flounder run. I hope they're somewhere. They got to be somewhere. They didn't die. I mean, they didn't get killed.
Well, you
killed,
know, the
so
cycle of a flounder is only about 4 to 5 years. You know,
is it?
Yeah, they don't live as long as trout and redfish. Well, redfish live longer than trout and flounder combined, but, you know, a trout, you know, make it to 9 years, they say. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of a fella up here. With this fresh water and pressure we get, our trout are lucky to make it to 3 years old.
They make it 9 years or something, right?
They make it nine years,
they,
man.
They make it past 12 or 13 inches. They did a really good.
I'm telling you. But,
yeah, no, they cut the, I guess Wallace's state record was only 6.5 years old. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, when Wallace caught that 13-something, that fish is only 6.5 years old. That's just incredible.
When I had Trout Masters, we used to age those trout. We'd cut the otoliths out of them. And
we still do that. The taxidermist does that here.
Yeah. Take an electric knife, mm-hmm. just 45 the top of that head, and then crack it open and pop mm-hmm. the otoliths out of that membrane in there, that chamber. And
And those things are really neat. I don't know if some people don't
know. My wife's got jewelry made out of them. A lot of the women getting earrings and, you know, stuff like that made out of the otoliths. It looks like pure ivory, you know.
One of the biggest trout I ever caught, I took the box out and had somebody do it. And the fish was over 11 years old, you know, and those things were almost 2.5 inches long, which are just huge.
Awesome.
Things. And I'll tell you what, it's amazing that fish was that old, but you could tell that fish was old. She was just beat up. You know, you could just tell there was nothing young looking about this fish. Her fins were all bent up and tore up and, you know, her mouth had several notches in it. And, you know, kind of a warhorse here. She was super old. Then you'll catch those, you know, 9-10 pounders look like they're 6 pounders, all, you know, no marks on them and all that stuff. But this old fish had been around for a while. It's funny how you can tell what their body looks like. Kind of like me, been around, was looking pretty bad now every year. I was glad to see that fishing is getting better up and down the coast, though, compared to last year. Because last year, after that storm, I mean, it was tough down here.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see it flying a little bit and actually going fishing. Did you guys catch some good fish this last week?
No, I didn't get to go. I had a dental appointment, and I spent 2 days recovering from that little fiasco, but... I got that over with, and
I'm
ready to go get them this week.
I hadn't heard nothing come from your end over there. Matagorda, I've been here a little bit, and I heard some pretty good news down in South Padre. They catch some good fish down there. Actually, they're catching snook down there still.
Catching snook?
Yeah, one of my good friends caught a 33-incher in the ship channel last week, which was just amazing. We're actually at... seen more snook in our Padre House channel than we've ever seen. People have seen them under the lights, and that's why people catch them. But it seems like these snook down here are getting used to our winter, Mickey. They're not piling out of here like they used to. They're staying in these canals that are 9-10 foot deep. It's not like they're making it through the winter. Okay, normally they pile out of here in the winter.
That's what's been happening out this way, you know, like Chocolate Bayou and Bastrop and Caney Creek and places like that. The deeper, you know, bayous and channels like we're talking about, where they're wintering here and they're surviving mm-hmm. it. You know, even after that big freeze we had last year, you remember how cold it got, man? I mean, our water, I mean, we were in another 12 hours of those temperatures, and I believe we'd have lost a lot of fish.
We sure did. We lost some ribbon fish, stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
In the shallow water. But boy, we were just a few hours because, you know, we got down to, God almighty, I saw it down almost 40 degrees. That's just insane.
Yeah, and we had up here some 38.5 to 39 degree water ourselves. You know, we had all that snow, and I mean, it was a real mm-hmm. deal. It was cold.
Well, I think we should be just about through. If we can get by one more week, hopefully, we won't have a fish kill. It seems like it's got to be that first 2 weeks of January. on the major fish kills.
Yeah,
usually from right
before Christmas to the second or third week mm-hmm. of January. If you can get through that phase there, you pretty much dodged a bullet.
Mm. Yeah, we dodged the red tide last year, and then on the Gulf, if we can dodge this, I think we're going to have a good fish population.
Well, have you noticed, y'all's red tide, that brown tide stuff and all, if you get an adequate amount of rainfall, that seems to deter yeah. that, right? Yeah.
It did. You know, we didn't have we're going on over a year and a half of no brown tide and no red tide on the beach, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
And the brown tide doesn't kill them, but you being a lure fisherman, it kills you looking for structure.
It kills us.
Yeah. It kills us, you know. Just something to throw at. And being a lure fisherman, you want to see that shadow of that grass bed or that rock, something to chunk at. You know, right. It just kills your blind cast and you're just trying to cover water. But now the red tide on the beaches devastates us. It gets where you don't even want to go out on the beach. It just takes your breath away, and those fish die. And, of course, those fish are some of the fish coming to Laguna Madre.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about not having that this year. Man, we're going to have a smoking spring. That's what I'm hoping for. Anyway.
Well, you guys are due. Just like, yeah, I'm getting ready to
put the shotgun up and the deer rifle up and everything and start fishing every day again. But, man, I had a long hunting season. It was a good season for us.
You have any buddies kill any monster bucks this year?
Not monsters. We turned down one that anybody would have shot. I turned down one. It was just a beautiful 10-point, but he was only 4.5 years old. I didn't shoot it.
Right.
I had my granddaughter in the blind, and she's going, "Well, that's a big buck, Grandpa." And I said, "Yeah, I know. We're going to let him go." He was I had him about a 150 class deer. You know, for here, it's really good. Probably 19 inches inside, super long tines, but thin tines, and just not really a shooter yet. If he'll just make it one more year. I just don't like shooting those young deer. Man, it's still bad.
Right. I understand.
I want them to breed one more time. The amount of quail we got this year is unbelievable, Mickey. God almighty. We got quail.
Really? It's so weird. Blaine's turned around. I mean, he had just tons of quail. Now, one of his ranches is loaded up. I mean, he can still got all his quail hunts over there, you know, towards the end of the season once he gets his deer hunting behind him. But, you know, his main ranch there that was just loaded, I mean, it's like they've all just disappeared. I don't know whether they've gone nocturnal or they're paired up. I don't know what's going on. I didn't hardly see any coveys. Unless I went over to that one ranch and, man, I'd be sitting in a deer hunt and I'd see 6, 8, 10 coveys in one morning hunt, and you know, a lot of blues mixed in with them. You know, you'd have a covey of bobs, and you know, back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quail are sensitive. There's nature's nacho. Everything eats them, and everything likes them. I mean, you're running around. I mean, you're just everything you're looking to eat all the time.
Yeah.
And the viruses they get, they just, you know, one little thing to get a virus, and they're gone. So I tell people, I said, when you see the quail, shoot them, because most of that covey's going to be gone anyway. If you got a covey of 15, if you have 5 or 6 of them make it through the winter, you're lucky.
Yeah, well, that's true. They're real susceptible colds and virus and all that from weather changes. They get wet and cold, and they can get sick, and it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. But, it doesn't take much to see them. So I'm telling everybody right now, we got quail, we're going to shoot them because we might not have them next year. But
that's it. Yeah, there's no.
And there's so much pressure, you're not going to kill them all.
Right, you're not.
No, they're just so thick here. You better be on the road, or you better have a good dog when you shoot them. Let me tell you, it's tough out here. It's solid brush.
Yeah, I know it kind of warmed up this past week here, and saw a lot of rattlesnakes being killed again. They were popping out everywhere. Mm-hmm. Big boys, too, man.
I mean, I know. I've been looking for them, too, Mickey. Man, I hate that.
Hey, at one stand I was hunting, I hunted while I was at Blaine's, South Windmill. Well, it was pretty cold when I was there, and we didn't see any snakes. But the following week, a guy was hunting that same stand, and he crawled out of it. And as soon as he hit the ground that morning, he heard that snake buzz and go off, and it was right under the stand, 3 feet from the ladder where he just stepped out of there. And it was a 6-footer, and it was bigger than his arm. It was huge.
Oh, man. We had one get in my buddy's cabin. He parked his floater cabin next to Penescal Point a few years ago.
Oh, God.
And it was about this time of year. And they were going to go down and spend the night. They were going to fish a 9-mile hole. And they were going to duck hunt. And they were going to spend the night in that cabin. And so they didn't go there during the day. They just duck hunted, and they piled in there right at dark. And they piled their stuff. And it was real cold. And that snake didn't rattle. They all went to sleep. And they pumped the coma stove up back in the morning to make it a little coffee. And that snake got warm with that heat. And they kept hearing that. What is that noise? and right under his bunk with a 4-footer, right under the bunk, crawled up in that cabin.
Oh, Lord, may have murdered.
The farmer got the more he rattled.
I'd have been running back to Corpus by boat to get me a motel room for the next
snake,
night.
Man.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Sleeping with the snakes, buddy.
I'm glad, you know, if they'd have seen it before they went to sleep, they wouldn't have been able to sleep at night after killing that snake.
Yeah.
Said, well, if there's one here, there's got to be another one.
Oh, that's it. They just went in there and piled there and went to sleep. But, you know, those people park those cabins and floaters next to the banks and stuff there, and they're always full of snakes in the spring. Those snakes, I don't know, I guess they see those cabins out there, but they do get in them. And that's one thing, you got to take everything out before you get in those cabins, because they like them. Duck blinds, too. I know you've had duck blinds and duck blinds.
Oh, yeah. I'll just call Motel 6, and I'll make the boat ride next morning.
I'll keep the light on for you.
I'm good. He can keep the light
on. Keep the light on.
Oh, Tom Baudette. All right,
I'm
man.
You, buddy.
Well, Cliff.
All right, man.
Hey, I'll be checking in with you next week, and I always appreciate the conversation from down south.
All right,
south.
Man. Next week I have some big fish stories for you, buddy. I'm going for the big trout next week.
Yeah, you're talking. Throw them out a number, bud.
All right, brother. All right, Mickey Mineri, code 361-949-0707. Thanks, guys.
Cliff, take care, my friend.
Thank you, Cliff.
All right, Mickey. Snake stories. They always pop up.